out by NHS providers. We're the membership organisation for NHS Hospital, Mental Health, Community and Ambulance Services.
I've just stepped back here at our comms leads event, where we're looking at the strategic value of comms, influence and demonstrating your worth. We've just been hearing from two trust leaders who really walked the walk in terms of harnessing their comms skills to make the leap into really senior executive roles. Kevin McNamara is Acting Chief Executive at Great Western Hospitals and Caroline Docking is Assistant Chief Exec at Newcastle-upon-Tyne Hospitals. Both built their careers in comms and have talked today about how their skills and experiences helped them into senior leadership. One common theme was a willingness to step outside their immediate responsibilities to take on tasks no one else wanted.
I think for me, it is that willingness to look at those things that don't immediately present themselves as an opportunity, a perfectly packaged opportunity. So lots of things don't come with pay rises, changing titles or more resource. And I've had a few experiences along my career that have really tested my skill set and helped me focus a bit more on those things that I've learned to enjoy, those things that I realise actually I don't necessarily have a strength in. And one of the examples that I often talk about is when we introduced a new parking system in the hospital and our teams there had decided to purchase these machines from Spain and they were installed speaking Spanish. We hadn't rolled out the programme. So it's a typical thing, often happens in the NHS, where you get a big infrastructure change, but without the change management process sitting alongside it. And because of the reputation risk, I took that on with my team and we managed to turn what was weeks worth of front page headlines into something that was much more managed and actually is now no longer an issue for us. The challenge with that is often if you're seen to be either very vocal, I think there is a risk, don't be vocal but they're not willing to get involved. You have to be vocal and willing to get involved. And then when you get involved and people see your skill set, actually be prepared that they might say, okay, it's now your job permanently. And those are some of the examples that have happened with me. But to be honest, they've been some of the most rewarding opportunities along the way.
And Caroline, is that what you were getting at when you were talking about the importance of being brave as a comms person?
Yeah, I think the great thing about working in NHS comms is that you get to experience so many different fields. You know, you get to be involved in work around workforce, around pensions and around strategy and around other services. You get to do consultations where you find out really detailed information about heart transplants and kidney stones and things that you would never otherwise have known about. And that gives you a really good insight into the way the whole organisation works. And it also gives you lots of different perspectives that those clinicians might not have. So there is something about being able to say, do you know what, I'm confident enough to know that I can do that job that needs to be done. And it's maybe not within my direct job description, it's not within my direct sphere of expertise, but it still needs to be done in a really, really positive way. And that's where you get the stretch of your skills and experience and the exposure to a much wider group of people.
Well, I suppose, Kevin, that also means that you have to have a tolerance for risk, being prepared to take it on with the knowledge that at the moment it's not in a good place.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that's both organisational risk, but also personal risk. And I think if you can work, as always, surround yourself with good people, but if you can go into it recognising that actually the vast majority of time, because most of these things are a judgement call, you will get it right. Occasionally they won't. You won't. People will step back and you'll be on your own. And I think as long as you go into it sort of recognising that, and how would you sort of, and process this in advance, what would you do if this doesn't quite work out the way you want it to? I think then you go into things with your eyes open and actually things often aren't as bad as you first envisage them going to be. But for me, it is then, once you can do that, actually other people that aren't comms professionals, who maybe might see comms in a very traditional light as the folk that sort of beautify things at the end of it, when they can start to touch and feel things that you've done that have made a bigger difference just than outside the traditional comms route, then actually that starts to help with profile, placements at board, your input into conversation. So it has a multiplier effect that I think is really important.
So Caroline, what sort of things in the comms skill set have you found have really been helpful for you as you've moved into those more senior roles?
So I think there's probably two main things. One is around being able to get your message across and being able to think about your audience and getting that message across. So as comms people, we will think about stratifying that audience, and we'll think about what tools and techniques can we use to get our message across to those different people. It's exactly the same if you're a manager or a leader or a senior exec doing that organisational piece of work. It's a mistake to go into that thinking that one message will work for everybody. It won't. That's when messages fail. So actually, those real basics that you learn very early in your comms days are absolutely crucial. I think the other thing is that broader political stakeholder engagement. So I think working in the NHS, we've all got a very finely honed sensitivity towards politics with a small p. We know who is going to cause us issues. We know who's going to feel certain ways about things. Actually, that's exactly the skill that you need to have as you move into more senior positions. You get more exposure when you're in those more senior positions, but actually to manage that exposure, it's exactly the same skill that you would use to make sure your stakeholders are getting what they need to know.
So really valuable skills, and yet sometimes you can get a sense there's a prejudice against the value that comms people can bring. Is that something you've encountered, Kevin?
So I think that's right. So I've had some experience of it, but I also recognise that, you know, I carry with me a massive amount of privilege, not only the comms privilege, but the fact that I'm male, I'm white, all of those sorts of things. So I don't think I can speak about it from a really sort of wider sort of perspective. But I know, based on conversations I've had with people, their perception of comms as a function, sometimes people dismissively, well, you're the head of saying thank you, those sorts of things, that actually they're funny little quips, but actually they do damage over a long period of time to how comms is perceived within an organisation. I think you have to challenge that. And I guess the question is how you challenge it. And for me, it's always been about, at every point, just prove the worth of it. And so that's what I've experienced along the way. But I think there are people that once they can, as I say, touch and feel something and see something wider than traditional comms, then I think they start to quite quickly understand actually not only your skill sets, but the skill sets of the people in your team.
One thing you mentioned, Caroline, that really struck me was the way that you said you had developed a skill as a trusted advisor with a particular perspective, obviously with your comms background, that could really add value and in due course demonstrate success. What do you really mean by that, and how have you managed to develop that quality?
I think as a comms person, you are all over so many different things. You know, we're very close to the media, we're very close to social media, we're very close to patient experience. We're also probably very close to local politicians, national politicians. You know, those are the fields that we operate in. It's that much more external position. But we also tend to be well trusted within the organisation. So there's a real skill to being able to just pick up the vibes. So picking up the vibes within an organisation is really important, to be able to just get a feel and a taste. And it's not tactile, it's just something that you know and that you can pick up. I think on top of that, though, there's a real skill with policy. We're getting loads of national policy coming down all the time, very quickly. What comms people do is have an ability to kind of take that, to listen to it on the Radio 4 News on the way into work and think, how's that going to affect my day? What's going to happen next week, next month, next year? Where is that going to land? And actually make a fairly good guess about where that's going to go. Well, a lot of other people in the organisation haven't got the skills or the links or the capacity to be able to do that. So for me, being a trusted advisor is about being able to be a right-hand person. It's about being able to be in the places where my chief exec can't be, in those places where she would like to be but can't be, and being able to not feedback and not be a spy in the camp, but consolidate all of that information to be able to think about, what do we need to do? What are we missing? How can we take that strategic objective and deliver it in not a straight line way, but a way that goes X, Y, Z, and then back to somewhere else? Does that make sense?
Absolutely it does. Thanks so much, Caroline and Kevin, for being at our event today. Really good to have you along. I'm sure it's been a really inspiring session for everyone here. Thank you.
Thank you very much.